Thank you. Hey, John. We have a last minute. Okay, we are going to begin. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
As we said, we are broadcasting from home this morning. Unity decided that it was, first of all, it was too cold outside, but it turned out that the heating system was not working terribly well, and it was about 40 degrees in the sanctuary, which would not make for a It would make for an interesting service because we'd all be jumping around trying to keep warm. Anyway, fortunately, we have a fallback system where those of you who cannot be here in person can be here on Zoom electronically. So, welcome to Sunday morning. And as we settle in, it'd be a good idea just to take a couple of breaths. You don't have to close your eyes, just kind of ground, center yourself. Know that we are connected with all beings who are doing similar kinds of work. Let us pray especially for those who are suffering from the storms, all those who are caught in the middle of conflict, that they might know their truth, that we might heal them by our presence. And that we may be healed as well. And so begin to get a sense of what I would call the quietness, the silence underlying everything. The German mystic Meister Eckhart said once that nothing is closer to God than silence. And silence is not empty, it is bursting with possibility. It is not to be understood with the thinking mind, and yet it is still there. And so we meet one another in silence on one level, on words in another. We do not deny one or the other. I think it was Robert Frost who wrote one time, "A friend is someone I can walk a mile with without saying a word." In Taoism, it is said, those who know do not speak. Those who speak do not know. I often wonder where that leaves me. We're doing here on Sunday morning. Let's see if I can find the right page we're on here. I'm on page 214. Does that look right? Okay. The word heresy comes up here a couple of times. And I know that has some religious connotations. But the reality of the word, or the meaning that the guides put behind the word heresy, or the energy behind it, is something that is not true. Heresy is something that is not true. The guides begin on page 214. Now, on the mountainside, you meet many, and the life you live is your walk up the mountain. All the circumstances that are part of your life are part of your choice, are part of your learning, are part of your lesson. We will teach you this. Heresy, we say, or a lie or an untruth, is actually a crime against the self. Heresy says there could be no God or no power good enough and great enough to deny man. Why would God, or what you would claim to be God, be that thing? But we will say this. When heresy is made, when an untruth is created, or no power, excuse me, when an untruth is created, it is made against the divine self, the aspect of you that is divine. When you hide your light, when you shut it down, when you are pretending to be small, in many ways you are aligning to an agreement not to be the self you truly are. And as we would stand this with you, as we invite you forward, the invitation will be there again and again and again to deny the light you are in favor of a louder argument. There can be no God, there can be no divine. Now, Paul is getting stuck on the definition of heresy. It's a very religious word, and we will call it on the language of religion when it suits us. But do not adhere to it in the ways you have been taught. In some cases, we reinterpret language for you that has been pronounced in heretical ways or ways that are not true. For you, that has been, which simply means when the language is used to deny the creative source of who you are, it will be attended to in a higher way, in liberation, if you wish. But to support you in your awareness of who and what you truly are. The definition we are giving you now, that to be in heresy is only against the self, but never against the great creator, who could not care less if you said, go away, because he can't go away. The divine is always present, regardless of what you see before you. But because you have been given free will, you can dim the light. You can shut the door. You can do what you wish. Now, we don't necessarily do that on purpose. But the outside world, or the physical world, or the material world, is tremendously seductive. It's like Alice in Wonderland. There are all sorts of things out there that are disguised or telling us, I will feed you, I will make you whole, I will give you the joy you want. And I'll put it in a cake, I'll put it in a bottle, I'll put it in a box, and you get, I guarantee you'll probably get hooked. Whether it's on books or workshops or alcohol or drugs or whatever it might happen to be, you'll get hooked. And most of us, spend at least some of our lives being hooked, getting hooked, and then trying to become unhooked. And we try to get unhooked through our lower self, and that doesn't work. As we said last week, we come to a point in our lower consciousness, our limited consciousness, where even everything we tried doesn't work. And so we are faced with the daunting possibility that I either surrender, let go of whatever my small self is trying to do, and let go into my higher consciousness and see wherever that's going to take me, or try and keep doing what I've been doing, which doesn't work. When someone acts in fear, they're acting out of an alignment with their own awareness of their divine truth. In other words, I'm not connected to the truth of who I am. When someone accuses unjustly or uses another to bring themselves to a place of fame in a negative way, what they are actually doing is deciding for themselves that they will not be in alignment, and that is their choice. I'm going to do it this way. I'd rather be right than happy, is the way A Course in Miracles put it. We will tell you this much. There is no man born here and hereafter who has not encountered these things as they progress through their lifetimes. Maybe not this lifetime, but others. Some may be a missionary, some may be a slave master, some may be a king, some may be a pauper. You have all played all the roles as you progress forward in this play that you call your reality. Ram Dass said, you know, we've probably played every role, we're playing every possible role there is. If you're playing the role of an abuser, you probably also play the role of being abused. And what one of my teachers said is the object lesson here on planet Earth is to learn how to be whole, how to hold everyone and everything in the light of unconditional love. And once that's done, it's time to move on to another classroom. You have all played all the roles as you progress forward in this play that you call your reality. Consequently, you don't have to give it great credence. In other words, don't get stuck too much on this lifetime. It's such a tiny piece. If you can imagine a tapestry that's a mile wide and a mile tall, and you are one thread. This lifetime is one little thread in that tapestry. And if you were to flip it over and not see the wonderful design that's made, you will see all of these knots and threads that are sticking out. And sometimes that's what people focus on. That's the whole picture. What they don't realize is it's a tiny piece of a tiny piece. I have to keep remembering that one. But when you are on an initiated path, a path where you encounter stages of initiation, you are encountering always the names you have known yourselves through in relationship to others. We will explain this for you. When you meet a challenge in your life, you're actually encountering the thing you need to learn to move beyond. So what shows up in your life is a lesson that you've already chosen to learn. It's right there. How did somebody put it? The stuff that's in your way is your way. So the stuff you think is blocking you from happiness or joy or peace of mind is actually something you've chosen to learn from. The stuff that you think is in your way is your way. And how, if I remember that, if I can live with that one, what a difference that makes in my perception and my point of view. Not only of what's going on with me, but let's say why you showed up in my life. See, we all showed up in one another's life to be part of that. Wouldn't be the same without you. We will explain this for you. When you meet a challenge in your life, you're actually encountering the thing you need to learn to move beyond. When you meet a hero on the path, a soldier perhaps, who does good deeds for the benefit of all, you're having an image of what may be known as you, one who gives you the purview, by expression, to see what may be known. When someone's behavior is not what you would like it to be, they become an example for you, perhaps, of what you do not require. But in fact, all they are doing is expressing at the level of consciousness that they can attend to. So just like us, everybody else, as difficult as this might believe sometimes, everybody's doing the best they can do. Everybody is doing the best they can do. Now, coming from a lower level of consciousness, if I see you, if the only way I see you is on a lower level of consciousness, then it's never going to look like you're doing the best you can do. You're rotten, you're ugly, you're a liar, you're this, you're that. There's something wrong with you. So as long as I am in judgment of you, I am working out of my, let's call it, working out of my lower consciousness. As long as I am willing, I'm not always there, but I'm willing. As long as I am willing to see you as God in hiding, or the Christ consciousness in disguise, then I am not only blessing you by my thoughts and my actions, I am learning and healing myself as well. And that's one of the ways I can find out the difference if I'm in higher consciousness, if I'm in the upper room or I'm in the basement. If I'm in judgment, whatever that might look like, I am certainly not in the upper room. And here's the drastic part of that that we keep on learning is that I sort of pull you down with me. My negative energy towards you affects you. It affects the whole universe, but certainly affects you as well. And sometimes I have to stop and ask myself, do I really want to do that? Do I really want to think that thought? Do I really want to hold on to that untruth? So I might pick out a politician or somebody who's on the news and say, well, there's something wrong with them. They don't fit my idea or my ideal of what they should be like. So there's something, I don't realize that by thinking that there's something wrong with them, there's something wrong with me. I remember I was pontificating one day on the Course in Miracles, which, well, we're all a student of the Course in one way or another, whether you're conscious of it or not. It's a required course. But I remember I was saying about that wonderful quotation about, you know, every human interaction is either an act of love or a cry for help, which I believe is true. But as soon as I start thinking, oh, that's you over there crying for help, I've kind of lost my focus. And somebody called my attention to it. As soon as I see somebody, and judge them or put the label on them that they're crying out for help, who's really crying out for help? C'est moi. That was a difficult thing for me to swallow, because of course I thought I was an expert. I had a speaking of which, when I was working on the Indian reservation in South Dakota, I might have told you some of this before already. There was an elder of the tribe who I could never get it right with him. I was always screwing up as far as he was concerned, and of course then it was, of course, as I was concerned. And I remember one day, his name was Gene Ironshell. It's a very powerful Native American name. And Gene came up to me one day and he said, "Jerry, do you know what an expert is?" And I knew there was a hook there someplace, but I didn't know what it was. And I said, "No, I don't know what an expert." And he said, "An expert is a white man walk passing through." In other words, here, that's you. You're a white man passing through. You're going to be here for a year and then you're gone. You're an expert. You're a white man passing through. Never forgot that. So here I am. I'm a white man passing through. So are you.
Jerry,
Yes, Diane.
I'm just you're talking about an experience that absolutely happened to me last night, and I'm having trouble hearing you speak and knowing how I reacted. But anyway, my sister was trying to commit suicide, and it wasn't a judgment I had of her. It was fear. And I don't know how you just don't take part of that dream. How do you, I mean, I reacted like it says here, when someone's behavior is not what you like it to be, they become an example for you. You say it's us, it was really me crying out for help.
Well, probably both, all right? Because
Yeah.
you were in a situation where you didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I am in a situation where I don't know what to do next, I am in need of help.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And
Okay.
again,
Yes.
that's not a judgment, that's an awareness.
Okay.
There might be a fine line of distinction there sometimes, but I think there is a real difference between making a judgment on myself or somebody else and being aware that I don't have the tools to cope with this right now. I need to open myself up to divine consciousness and see what answers come to me. You
My
know,
first reaction, was fear.
sure.
Fear, total
I think that's
total
natural.
fear.
I think
Total.
that's very natural, Diane.
Jerry, that was kind of like exactly what Diane was saying that I was feeling with my daughter that we talked about. It was like I maybe didn't have the tools to deal with it type of thing. To deal with whether it's Diane, like dealing with her sister, like what do you do about somebody just right on the emotionally? It's hard, as you know.
Yes,
So
it is.
is that something? Back, I have a question. When we see something in someone else and that crying out for help, could it be those things we're seeing? We had been through it sometime or some other living rather than maybe how we see the world right at this moment. So we recognize where we have been. Does that
That's
make
a definite
sense?
possibility.
Hmm.
I think what I would be asking for is some method or means to be able to positively cope with a situation like that. So this is a minor, for instance. This is not a solution to deep problems. But when I was working as a therapist or a spiritual counselor, there were many times when I would hit a place where I had no idea what to say next, or to question or to give. I was shooting blanks. And I would move internal during those times. I would move internally, and I would say, God, I need some guidance here. I don't have any idea where to go with this person. And almost inevitably, the words or the message would be there for me once I made that act of surrender. It might not have been huge, it might not have been big, it might not have been out of the ordinary, but there was, and it wasn't me, it wasn't coming from my small self. Sure, I was afraid, but it wasn't coming from fear, it was coming from love.
True.
So Paul, I think, and Diane, I think there are many, many levels which we approach life situations like that. But I think the primary one for me is, oh, first of all, being willing, being opening myself to divine guidance, being willing to listen, and be willing to be satisfied or not satisfied, to be willing to be okay with the limited amount of help that I might be able to give. I mean, when I love someone really, really deeply, I don't want them to be in pain. In fact, it pains me when they're in pain. But a lot of times I cannot necessarily take that away. I can be here for you. I can be as loving as I possibly can be for you, but I can't necessarily give you what you're looking for, because maybe the only way you can find that is within yourself.
It's true.
I remember Ram Dass told this story about himself when he was still working as a therapist. He was living in California, and he was giving a series of lectures in New York. So he had flown from California to New York, and he was really tired. And he said to the desk clerk, he said, "Please don't disturb me for the next 8 hours or so. And if anybody calls, take a message, but don't connect me with anybody, because I really need some rest. I really need some sleep." 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone rings. Picks it up. It's one of his clients out in California. Says, "I'm going crazy. I'm going to kill myself." Ram Dass says, "I don't want to talk to you," which sort of breaks all the rules of therapy. He says, here's who I want to talk to. I want to talk to the person who tracked me down from California to New York, who found out what hotel I was in, who wheedled my phone number out of the desk clerk, who didn't wasn't supposed to disturb, who was sane enough to wheedle a number out of my desk clerk, who was not supposed to wake me up to begin with, and was able to dial a non-digit number to get in touch with me 5,000 miles away. That's who I want to talk to. I don't want to talk to the person who says, I'm going crazy, I'm going to kill myself. I want to talk to the person who is sane enough to do all of the jump through all of those hoops to get to talk to me at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's who I want to talk to."
That's good. Gary, I could not even sleep last night because I could feel her pain. Oh my God, I can feel it. I can see it. She's been sick for a long time. And I forgot what I was going to say, but it triggered the pain in me when I was that way. It
Okay,
brought back my
sure.
addiction.
I can
It
understand
brought
that.
that back. And so I can't. I remembered I needed help. So I called the police and they
Okay.
did go get her. And they took her down to the U of L hospital and they put her on hold for 72 hours. should I have just have turned it over to God or to the dream and let act it out in the dream? Or should I just have, should you just turn it over to the person that's in leading her path, guiding her path, has a purpose for her path. Was I interfering? You know, it's hard to tell if you're interfering or if, yeah.
I agree. I would have done what you did. I think you took the best of a bunch of limited options, right? And made the
So
road a bit,
effectively turning it
made the
over to
road
God.
as safe as you possibly could for her, right? And there was not a whole lot more you could have done. You at
Jerry,
least
isn't that
gave
really
her the
Diane
space
turning
to
it
make a
over?
choice. Go
Whoops, I
ahead,
didn't hear
Paula.
you. Isn't that really Diane turned it over to God? That feeling of what she should do, in touch with that intuitive feeling that works through to come out of us. It, sometimes those are the things that feel. That is that higher intelligence coming through us, telling us what move to make.
Maybe
Listening
someday.
to a higher truth. And sometimes that does not compute to being perfect in the material world, but it's also the realization that even with God's help, even with divine consciousness, that's the best I can do in this particular situation. And if nothing else, I have given her the space, the freedom to make a better decision, whatever
It's
she does.
over. Think clearly. I have seven brothers and sisters, and no one reacted. They say she does this all the time.
And
And
that's their own helplessness, okay?
okay.
You decided instead of just falling into my own helplessness, I'm going to say, is there anything I can do here in the material world that might be helpful to her in the best way possible? And calling the authorities to take her to the hospital, I think was the best move you could possibly made. And it was not a move that came from helplessness. It was a move that came from higher consciousness. That's my feeling. And let's take a moment. It's not a meditation, but let's just take a moment to hold. What's your sister's name, Diane?
Harry.
Terry? Let's take a moment to hold Terry in the light. Imagine that you hold her wounded spirit in your hands and see her as being whole, as being complete. No matter how she sees herself, I see you as whole. I see you as complete. I see you as a reflection of divine consciousness. I see you as free. Terry, the light of God surrounds you. The love of God enfolds you. The power of God protects you. The presence of God watches over you. Wherever you are, God is.
Was the first message I tried to give her was, I know who you are. I know how you serve. That was the first message I tried to give her. I didn't get caught up in all of the her feelings of worthlessness, useless. I know who she is. I know what she is, and I know how she serves. I know who she is. She's a beautiful, wonderful God. She's so full of love, but not for herself. But anyway, that was the first thing I tried to impress. I know who you are. It's not this.
Right. And
No.
sometimes we don't even have to say that out loud.
I did.
Now, as we continue this teaching, we're on page 216. As we continue this teaching, we need to clarify for Paul something you heard in the last session. Glory, glory, glory to the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, is a claim we make today. Now, that's not about God outside there someplace. That's about the divine consciousness that I am. The awareness of the divine in anything, anything, is to give it glory. That's the simple definition here. To give the awareness of it, to acknowledge it, is to give it glory. When you understand that the infinite self, the divine as you, who knows herself here and now, will know herself in all dimensions, in all time, you may understand and comprehend the term who was and is to come. That's you. I am. I am the presence of God who was and is to come. I am the process. I am the energy of unconditional love, continuing to stretch and to grow. You are infinite, yes, but you have been veiled by a shadow that lies to you. The untruths, the heresies that we've grown up with, that have told us who we are, and that for many of us, at least myself, I know, I bought it. I bought this message, this vision of limitation. I bought this message of untruth. And one of the reasons why, out of all of the many reasons why I became addicted to alcohol and other chemicals, was because when I was high, I didn't feel that way.
Right. Numb your feelings.
The great line from the movie Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, older movie, where Paul Newman's playing this drunken son. And his father says, "Why do you drink?" And he said, "I'll tell you why I drink. When I'm drunk, I can stand myself." When I'm drunk, I can stand. I wrote that script. When I'm drunk, I can stand myself. Thank God I don't have to do that anymore. Neither do you.
Amen.
You are infinite, yes, but you have been veiled by a shadow that lies to you. And when a shadow lies, it tries to tell you that the sun has disappeared and will never return. At this stage of development, when we speak to you of truth, you may have an expectation to claim your truth in one way or another, in spite of appearances, in spite of the behavior of others, in spite of what may be said or claimed against you. However, we will say this: when you know who you are, these things become very small. The master knows her worth in the face of challenge. The master knows who he is in the face of adversity. And the master knows that the kingdom lies before her, regardless of what it presents, regardless of what it looks like. So for Donald Trump or Nancy Pelosi, the kingdom of heaven is within you. I see you. Or I desire to see you. Maybe I don't. Because I know sometimes I run into problems with that one. I am willing to see you as you truly are. And I am not willing to get caught in the trap of judgment. I am not willing to get caught in the trap of seeing you as being small, even though you think that way yourself. I am willing to know the truth of who you are and who I am. So I'm going to suggest you put your stuff down. Seems like a good spot to put our meditation in. And just let yourself get comfortable in your spot. And close your eyes. Take a couple of deep breaths. And as you settle into the rhythm of your breathing, pulsing of your heartbeat, notice that there is an aura of silence around you. The old distractions might still be there, but they're muted, they're muffled, they're down a hallway someplace. Where you are right now is a sense of spaciousness, openness, willingness, peacefulness, even. Not complete, not finished, but not pushing. An open sense of awareness to the becoming, the realization of becoming more and more and more of the truth of who you are. And you can almost breathe this energy, breathe this spaciousness into your being. So it begins to touch you, every cell and fiber of you, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You suck it up like a sponge. You take it all in. Breathe it into your being. And even as you breathe it into your being, you begin to project it outward, this energy of potential, spaciousness, love, peace, joy that is moving through you. You let it go out into the world, out into all beings. So you are not only taking it in, you are moving it through. Until you become one with this energy of transformation that moves to you and through you at the same time. Healing you, healing the world. Echoing that Buddhist prayer, may all beings be at peace. May all beings be free of suffering. May all beings remember who they are. back to the rhythm of your breathing, pulsing of your heartbeat. Stretch a bit. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Does anybody have any closing thoughts or questions or reflections before we put this to a close this morning? If you ever have
wanted to say,
anything, yeah, go ahead, Diane.
I just wanted to say one thing that when I was talking to Teresa last night and she was at the hospital, there was a cop that showed up to come get her and take her down there. And she said to me, "Donnie, he's the sweetest thing I ever met in my life." She said, "He's standing right here by my side." And I said, "Well, God sent you a guardian angel." And the cop says, "Well, I don't know about that."
I was going to
he
say
said
the
he's
same
not,
thing. I was going to say the same
he's,
thing.
he said to her, he said, "I'm not going anywhere until I know she's going to be safe."
Wow.
Isn't that something that, yeah.
Yeah.
What a good decision to make to call him. Came.
You
And stood right
didn't
beside her.
realize you called an angel, did you?
No, I did not.
But there he was.
No.
I want to make sure of a couple of things before we close. One is we've got a whole bunch of people online. I want to make sure that everybody here receives our Sunday newsletter that has the meditation video link and reflection. And if you need my email address, it's jerryboy, GERYBOY at TWC.com. Make sure you're on the list. The other thing is that I want to thank everybody for your continuing love and support and generosity. Your donations, part of which go to Unity and part of which come to me personally. We couldn't do it without you either. And if ever you have any questions or things you want or need to discuss, please feel free to get in touch with me. My area, my home, my cell phone number is 502-777-2460. And so if you didn't get that by any chance, email me and I will send it to you. 502-777-2460. As best I possibly can, I am here for you, here with you. So as we close this morning, let us be thankful for being able to do this. Because under normal circumstances, without Zoom, we would not have been able to do what we're doing right now, which I am extremely grateful for. And we will see you next week. Okay. Take care, guys. Love you.
Love you guys.
Thank you, Jerry.
Peace.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Week, you all.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, guys. See ya. Stay warm.